Big B, Moonshine Band, Suburban Respectors. Let's go!
I'm an outlaw. Give me two shots. We don't need a radio. Bring a jukebox for my outlaws. Bring me three shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Another evening of Steph's Conversations with our host, the most, and I'm messing up the music already. Mr.
Wow, you're doing good tonight already, man. You're off and running. That's great stuff.
Yeah, I'm doing good. And what we just say a little while ago before we went live, 7 months of stupid. So here we go.
Seven months. We've entered 7 months now. Are you hunkered down? Are you ready for Winter Storm Cato?
Is that what they're calling it?
It's so stupid, dude. It's like, not now, Cato. Oh, it's so stupid.
Well,
but anyway,
let you
here we are.
Play with the hot sauce, guys, and go hide out where I usually hide out in the dungeon. If you need me, you know where I am. Have a good show.
All right. Thanks, man. Appreciate it. All right, folks. Welcome back. We'll start off our weekly shout-out to the band that makes our intro music possible, the Moonshine Bandits. Love you guys. Check them out on iTunes. Sorry about no show last week, but welcome back to Def Conversations, broadcasting from the Def Con Sauces compound located deep under a well-known Superfund site in the pestiferous paradise of New Jersey. I got another cool show on deck tonight with another great guest from the infernal land of hot sauce. Just a reminder, if you have a company or know someone who has a company within the hot sauce, barbecue, or chili world, feel free to contact me at john@defconsauces.com. And hey, maybe we'll get you on a show. After all, the golden rule of small business is if they don't know you exist, they won't be buying from you. Okay, as we enter the seventh month of Deaf Conversations, I'd like to thank everyone, both past guests and also listeners, for helping make this project real. I had never done anything like this before. Since April, I think I'm slowly but surely getting the hang of it. It looks like the blind squirrel finally found the nut. I look forward to doing a bunch more of these shows, and we have some rather well-known celebrities coming up here in some upcoming shows, so stay tuned. We've only hit the tip of the iceberg. Okay, things have come to an end on the 2014 Farmers Market front, thanks to all who made this by far our best Farmers Market season to date. Nothing like having a couple of first-year markets that turned out to be complete winners on the retail front. It makes waking up on the weekends at 5:30 a.m. worth it. I might even be doing an additional market next year. Stay tuned. All that being said, I'm looking forward to setting up the tents again next year. Also, if anybody out there knows of any indoor markets in New Jersey that run through the winter, please let me know. I can be contacted once again, john@defconsauces.com. I'm pretty much striking out fine tonight. But anyway, as I said on the last live show a couple weeks ago, I have another quick update regarding our upcoming release of our first zero batch collectible in over 6 years. Everything's in the works, including the final harvesting of the newest incarnation of the absolute hottest product we've ever made by far. A really cool and totally unique component has arrived about a week ago, and it'll be the first time this item has ever been used by a hot sauce company, ever. Now, our mailing list has literally exploded as of late, and I'm fielding a bunch of questions from many of you. The release date is coming up, and everyone on the mailing list will be informed days and days before the actual release. We still have a lot to do to make this absolutely perfect. We're only making 66 of these evil little beasties, and depending on the final harvesting amount of zeros, we should have a handful of regular non-collectible vessels of the nasty stuff as well. If you're not on the mailing list and are thinking about grabbing one, I suggest getting on it now, as I don't think these will be available for very long at all. Once again, john@defconsauces.com. Now, here is the announcement I had to make about this, whoever tuned in to hear what's going on with the zero. This is interesting. A quick and quite important note, due to unforeseen international border issues and the nature of the zero batch number 6 itself, a number of other countries do not allow this sort of item to be shipped across their borders. I'm not kidding. Mainly countries in the European Union. Therefore, we will not be able to directly ship any of the zero batch number 6s to overseas addresses. I know, it sucks. I have nothing to do with this. I will discuss this further at a later date. I was not aware of the legal restrictions until very recently. The sucky part about this is that the main components have already been engraved, so there's really no turning back on the design. Leave it to DEF CON Sauces to almost spark an international incident. Hey, any publicity is good publicity, right? Well, needless to say, I'm going to avoid getting a personal visit from Interpol. I am not joking about that. I really am not. And I found out about this less than a week ago, and it pretty much sucks. But anyway, shoot me your emails. I expect a whole bunch of people getting mad at me. Anyway, the quick topic for tonight, let's see, will be a little different. When DEF CON saw us start out in 2004, we were trying to figure out a way to get the word of our products out to the general public without spending a lot of coin. About 6 months after we started, an idea popped into my head, which is usually a frightening thing, but not this time around. I contacted a local townie bar in Berkeley Heights, New Jersey, called The Alley. It was kind of a shot-in-a-beer roadhouse joint, my favorite type of venue. The idea was to serve up free wings for the afternoon to the public. I kind of had to talk the manager into the fact that the bar would supply me the wings for no charge. It didn't take much to convince him, as the idea of a bunch of people consuming a bunch of hot wings would allow the bar to make a killing. I didn't charge to show up then, but was allowed to sell my products during the event, and I would supply all the sauce for the wings for free that day. A simple yet effective equation. It was kind of absolute kismet, and the DEF CON day was born. The first couple of events were a little light on attendance. Of course they were. It was a brand-new company with a brand-new idea. After doing about three or four of these gigs, the word started to spread on the street. In 2007, we actually had a major calling for it, so we packed up the DEF CON gastronomical assimilation vehicle and headed to the Great White North in Toronto to do one of our events. We had an absolute blast. Having done now well over 100 DEF CON days all over the place, we pretty much packed the house wherever we show up. We charge the bar a nominal fee to do them now, pretty much gas and tolls, and the bars make a killing. One of the recent ones, we actually handed over 600 pounds of wings in about 5 hours. I mean, honestly, who doesn't like free wings, especially DEF CON wings? Now, that being said, we have an upcoming DEF CON Day on Saturday, December 6th from 12 to 5. It will be one of our favorite places to do one of these events, Bunny's Sports Bar, located at 14 West South Orange Avenue in South Orange, New Jersey, located about 100 feet from the South Orange train station on the NJ Transit Morrison Essex line. Yes, South Orange is a midtown direct stop from New York City. We friggin' packed the house all afternoon, so if you're in the area, feel like devouring free DEF CON wings all afternoon and meeting friends you didn't know you had, come on down. I would suggest getting there early. The bar stools and tables fill up quick at this event. Of course, as usual, all of our products will be available for sale at the event, including our newest beastie, the Contaminated Soil, a fine Jersey product, a dry rub with the added pleasure of 8 different kinds of peppers. We call it gourmet dirt with attitude. But anyway, here's our lead-in for the night. Let's see. We're time to bring on the guest. I met this guy last May at the first year's show called the Kempton Pepper Jam in Kempton, Pennsylvania. I showed up with the DEF CON truck to set up our tent as usual. I was located right next to a large RV that looked like a bivouac camp for a local militia. A couple of dudes were eyeing me every step of the way. At first, I wasn't sure what to make of it, but I had come to find out that DEF CON Sauce's reputation had preceded us, in a good way this time. they were happy to see the DEF CON Sauce's set up camp in the spot next to theirs. It's kind of wherever we set up, we usually draw a pretty good crowd. During setup, they came over and introduced themselves and turned out to be very cool dudes. It's always nice to be set up next to a couple of guys who enjoy beer just as much as you do. It makes for a very pleasant couple of days. Well, these guys have what it takes to succeed in this industry, a real passion, and it was truly a breath of fresh air seeing these guys at it. They were nonstop hawkers, and they have a ton of stuff going on. They're also very good friends with a friend of mine, Neil Smith, from the Hippie Seed Company in Australia, a guest I look forward to having on this show soon. So our guests tonight are Michael, now I may pronounce this wrong, either Niederreiter or Niederreiter, one or the other, and Justin Parker from Burning Mojo. So what's up, guys? You guys out there?
Yeah, what's happening,
John? Hey, hanging out. Welcome to the show, guys. We're going to dive right into this stuff. We're going to dive into what makes you guys tick, what makes Burning Mojo tick, and what makes you what you guys are all about, what projects you got going on. So you guys ready to jump into the fire?
Mike, you should probably start with your little background on how you got started first, and then we'll catch up to date.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that's usually my first question is, I mean, what sparked your love for this whole hot sauce industry thing? I mean, there's got to be something.
Well, basically, it started as a little kid. You know, fortunately, my old man was a grower for a big greenhouse company. And,
nice.
He took off when I was a little kid down to the Virgin Islands. So I got to go to St. Croix and go to all the islands down there growing up as a kid, and a lot of the employees down there thought it'd be funny to watch the boss's kids eat hot peppers. I started getting used to it, started keeping the seeds, started growing it, in with the tomatoes and everything else that we had going on. It just kind of started at a young age, and I haven't quit. And traveled around the country a little bit, got a taste what the hot sauce industry was all about, came home, run into one of my old best friends, you know, Justin, and I roped him into this, and now he's got no way out, but but yeah, long story short, man, this all started as a little kid, and at 42 years old, I'm still at it, but now I got a little bit of money to actually play and do it, you know, and work hard, and hopefully, you know, something comes of it. We'll see what happens, you know, bro.
Well, you guys got a great attitude too, which is really what I like. I mean, I met you guys for the first time at the Kempton gig, and it's like, what are these guys all about? You guys are like the coolest dudes. I'm talking about laid back, and you guys, but you're hawkers. You guys are out there. You're in the face of the people. You're burning your project into their heads. It was great watching you guys work. I had a ball at that show.
Well,
yeah,
I forgot my
shooting
orders. So.
All right, one at a time.
Sorry. Gotcha. Go ahead, Justin. You get in there, Bean.
No, I said we were in so many people's faces, we got restraining orders.
Oh, too funny. No, but I love what you guys are all about. And I mean, when did Burner Mojo actually start up as a company?
2010. Joe,
okay.
Around the dinner table. More or less one of those, hey, you know, you're about the only kid left in the family that hasn't pulled his head out of his butt yet, so go do something. And I thought, you know what, I'm going to do something, and I'm going to make a hot sauce. The old man laughed at me, thought it was it was about the only time I think he's ever looked at me and laughed with a serious face, because he knew I was serious. And, you know, a couple of years went by where it was kind of stalemated, you know, and it was like, well, you know, we're down south in Arkansas, and being from New York in Arkansas... I don't know if you've ever tried that. Yeah. A guy like me trying to keep his mouth shut. Yeah, that's really, really easy, you know. So I brought the whole thing back to New York, you know, and I talked Justin into the whole adventure, you know, and I threw this huge grand scheme of idea in front of his face. And, you know, when he took me serious, it scared me because then I knew that I had to stand up and do what I just, you know, what I was just throwing at.
Okay,
him.
So it wasn't like Justin lost a bar bet or something like that, and he allowed you to rope him in. He basically did it on his own volition.
He did, kind of.
He was a world traveler, and he had been all over the place. I hadn't seen him in years, and you know, I'm just a guy that's never really left this terrible lonely town that I live in.
Jeez.
I don't know what the hell made him come back, but he came back, and he pitched this idea to me, and then I'm a hot sauce fan, so I said, what the hell, let's run with it, see what we can do.
Cool. And that was it. I mean, see, that's what's great about the industry. I mean, so many people start out just like that. It was a whim. It was something I wanted to try. All of a sudden, I really want to do it now. And it grows inside of you, and now you're really having fun with it because you guys are having a ball at the Kempton thing. I know that. I mean, well, beer, but I mean, you guys are having a ball.
Yeah.
After meeting you and all the people at Kempton, that really lit a fire under us as well. I mean, that was like, all right, now we're into it. We're doing it.
Yep.
And we
appreciate you as a mentor as well.
I consider myself a friend, not a mentor. I mean,
between you, John, and Neil, you know, you guys, you know, because you're a little older than I am, I have to respect you. So, you know, whatever. But
pal. Appreciate that, dude.
But total mentors, brother. Your sauce. Amazing, you know, and we didn't look out, we didn't go out to replicate anything you were doing. What we wanted to do is we wanted to be just like DEF CON. We want to roll into somewhere and catch guys like us who are just getting into it by surprise and kind of put that fire under their keister to keep them rolling, you know, and then, you know, we meet people internationally. You know what's funny is locally our sauce is doing great. People are loving us, you know, we're like
there you
a
go.
Big thing going on. But we've been caught on nationally. Like, we're all the way over in Seattle, Washington, and we're working our way back to New York. But at the same time, we're picking up these private labels. People are loving the sauce so much, instead of selling them the recipe, you know, I'm like, no, if it's worth that now, you know, maybe I'll be, you know, who knows. But we thought we'll do the private label thing. So, you know, not to change the scheme of the conversation, but that's kind of one of our new big ventures, and that is the other issue why we're continuing to just follow this passion. If we got people from around the country and, like, 9,000 miles away, promoting us on a daily basis.
Nine thousand miles away to bring you to Hawaii, but if you're doing well there, that's good to hear.
How far is Australia? we've gone to Australia, and we're actually on an airplane on our way there soon,
Very cool.
Of Neil, Neil's going to have more mojo here soon. Brand new videos are going to come out. This time we're making them wear our shirts, that's the part of the whole thing that keeps us going is the fun.
Well, that's cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I don't want to cut you off here, but this time does go quick, and I definitely want to get your products in here as well. So we'll get into your products right now, just to get so people know what you guys are about with product wise, because hopefully I can drum up some sales for you guys as well. Now, first up is the Burning Mojo Green Sauce. Now, I mean, what kind of pepper is in this thing, and what's it good on? What's this one all about?
Justin, that's your favorite, brother. You go ahead and explain that one,
all right,
man.
Well, that's we're actually going to change the name on the green sauce. We're going to have a contest to have somebody name it, but after going to the festivals and hearing feedback from your people, that's kind of how you get your name. And it's a citrus jalapeno, so it's a jalapeno-based green sauce.
Right.
And it's great on your Mexican food, your seafood, that type of dish. It's been the most popular item that we have at all the festivals.
Okay, cool. What's the main thing people would use something like that on?
I would say your Mexican dishes and your seafood. I'd put it on everything, but
okay.
Anything that likes that citrus flair is perfect.
Sure. Well, what kind of stuff brings the citrus out? Is it lemon? Is it orange? What are you talking about here?
Oranges and limes. Oranges and limes, is a big base. And we're going for is, we're always going for flavor. We're not going for the hottest. We're not going for the best. We're going for, wow, that's pretty good. I'll keep using that. That's what we're going for.
All our items are really about being fresh and having that good whack. It's not a killer whack. It's not going to kill your food, but it gives you a good punch in the face.
Well, there's something to be said for the super hots. However, the trick is to basically get your stuff next to every table in the United States, next to the salt and pepper. That's where you make your money.
Yeah. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah, there it is.
And as a business point of view, a few years ago, like I said, this was a choke. And, business was like, we make $1,000 this year making hot sauce. Yahoo. Now Justin, being a businessman, has actually sat me down, being a dirty hippie, we can make money doing this and have fun at the same time and make a living. I can go quit my real job. He can go quit his real job, and we can collaborate and, cash in or go for a ride, So we chose to go for a ride, and I've quit my real job. He hasn't yet, so he will.
Because he's a businessman.
Because he's a businessman, and I'm a snowboarder, and we're about to get 7 feet of snow. So.
And John, you know how you train a hippie like Mike? Just a dog
with a whip?
Yeah,
I knew the whip was in there somewhere. Yeah, you got to smack the hippie every once in a while.
Every once in a while.
Knock my shoes right off. I still haven't found him since the Kempton set.
Okay, we'll bring up the next one. Now you got the medium mojo. Now this looks like it kicks up the heat a little bit. Different peppers?
Different peppers, yeah. Here was a sauce that was brought on by public demand. Our red sauce was tearing people up a little bit that we live in Binghamton, New York. God bless the folks who live around here. They're great. They're just not used to super hot. We may have one out of 100 people that eat something that's hotter than a habanero.
Right.
So we wanted to get into these local new brew pubs that are going up and all these little college, stops that are coming in and going. And so I thought, hey, I have such a huge, enormous amount of bell peppers growing right now. I'll let them turn red, then I'll just go add some things to them, bring the heat up, and we'll see what happens. Folks laughed again, red bell pepper, you can't get it. I'm like, tell you what, it's the best tomato sauce or pasta sauce out there made with red bell peppers. But basically...
Right.
Kind of went that route, and we did our thing with it. We brought the heat up. We added some stuff to it. We got a flavor out of it. Now can't be it's second to none on the tables, and we can't make enough of it. That's another joke gone crazy. So
Well, it's funny when you come out. I mean, what's funny I find is when you come out with your first product, the first product is the hardest one to come up with, because you don't know what you're going into the unknown. And once you come out with your first one, then your feet are firmly on the ground and go, okay, what can we do to make this one better? It's basically getting the idea that worked, so this just might work as well. And then you find your product line growing.
Yeah. You know, and we have a little trouble. Not to cut you off, John, but, you know, our sauce is a little loose, a little chunky, and the seeds are still in it, and it looks like, you know, it looks like a dirty hippie made it.
Oh, my God!
It's got its own thing. It doesn't have the tight texture, and it doesn't have that added, you know, to make it stand. It does fall apart a little bit in the bottle, but it's like a fine wine, man. You shake it up a little bit. Get up the stuff off the bottom. Just you know, that's where the great stuff is. So
it looks the same coming in as it does going out.
Oh, my God. I thought those were only White Castles. Oh, my God.
And corn.
Oh, man. Oh, you can eat those by the box sitting in traffic. I'm telling you, man.
I'll tell you what. The farts even smell like a burger. Now we go on to the last one here is the Burning Mojo Red. Now, this has to have a couple of super hots in it to claim, like, the Burning Mojo Red. Kind of has a strong name to it. What peppers are in that little beastie?
That little beastie's got some really choice ghost chilies in it. It's got some, really nice Caribbean reds. Most of the stuff we do grow our own. If I don't have it, you know, I can get it within 100 miles of us somewhere, small batch, you know. But thank God for Neil Smith and the Hippie Seed Company and those phenomenal seeds, you know. There's my pitch, Neil. Thanks, brother.
Oh, Neil's awesome. Oh, my God. He's funny as hell.
He's the best, and he cannot wait to do this show. And we might actually try to get him over here and do a little something with him in the spring. So we're working on
that'd be great.
Right now. He just spent all his loot in Japan, but, you know, he makes enough money. We'll get him over here. So, on the bottle it says Boot Jolokias. Well, we went the botanical name on the bottle because you never know. I don't know which one's going to be in here. There's so many ghost chilies out there anymore. You know,
agreed.
Like I grow some nice ones that I got seeds for, and that's what we put in there. And every once in a while, you might find a chunk of chocolate floating in there. You might even find a little chocolate Trinidad sport floating around in there. You know, any exotic pepper grower out there knows as bad as he wants. He wants thousands of acres of the finest peppers growing. But in reality, they don't come in huge batches that are, you know.
Right.
It's tough to come by, and if you can afford them at a market cost, you know, go for it. In turn, is the reason why we are sticking to, you know, growing our own farm-to-table kind of sauce. You know, that's the ultimate goal for us. You know, so.
It gives it that home-style appeal.
It does, and it gives it the same taste. You know, when the sauce is made within 45 days of going on the shelf and you use the bottle within, like, 25, 30 days, you know, well, then there you go. You know, you got less than 4 months of that bottle being alive, and, the USDA, whoever they were, they gave us 2 years. But, you know, who needs 2 years? I want you to buy 20 of these bottles in 2 years.
Exactly. Yeah, somebody ordered, somebody's like, well, they come up to me at the market. It's like, well, how long is this stuff good for? Well, it has a best by date, which means nothing. We're kind of forced to put it on there. But, I mean, it'll be good to the next ice age. But, I mean, dude, if something's in your fridge for 6 years, it's probably next to the green meat with tentacles.
Exactly. And I only know one guy that I saw on TV that'll eat that stuff.
Anyway, okay, show, we're going to shift gears a little bit. Now, you guys are also doing Mojo chocolates.
Yeah.
Now, what got you into playing around with chocolate? I mean, not many people do this, and it's not the easiest thing to work with.
No, it's, you know, Justin, I'm sorry, brother. I don't mean to keep cutting you off, but you're just really quiet, brother. So, until you tell me to shut up, I'm going to keep on. I hung around holding on to my mom's leg growing up. She's a phenomenal cook. She's a, you know, pastry chef. She's anything she wants to be without a certificate that tells her she is. You know what I'm saying? She's one of them. And so I paid attention. Like you and me, we had a conversation one time. We have the same mom, John. You know, so I grew up with mine. I paid attention, and I went, I can do this. So what I've done is I went and I learned how to play with chocolate a little bit down south and out west. And, yeah, like Justin said, I've gotten to travel. When I was traveling, I wasn't sleeping on people's couches. I was working and I was paying attention.
and I got into every industry I could just to see if it was for real or not.
Right.
But the food industry blew me away, and I was like, yeah, I'm on board. So when it comes to it, I pay attention. So I went and I got with the chocolate thing, and then we started playing with the chocolates with the hot, super hot in them, and we started messing around with ice cream and some stuff, you know, and we were like, you know what? We got something here, and it's really
right.
This is it's easy if you know what you're doing, but if you don't, good luck, you know. And somehow
right.
it's something that we've come together with and agreed with that yeah we nailed this, and now we've kind of it's not on the back burner, but we've got so much going on, it's not the most important thing going, but we do plan on, you know, coming out with a really awesome packaging. We do plan on making some ice cream with it. We want to make. It's endless with what you can do with chocolate. We just had
sure.
to figure out, is it really going to be worth our time to do this? Because we've got so much, you know, else on our plate. But it's so popular, we can't get away from it. It's another one of those items that's keeping us in business. It's under
that's cool.
demand. So we're
John,
on top of it.
Yo, what's
John,
up?
You once we send you some ice cream with this sweet and spicy chocolate, with the cold of the ice cream, it's like a ride, man. You'll love
okay,
it.
Okay, hey, ship it on. I mean, I'd be more than happy to do a review on this thing.
It's yeah,
like hobby horse on shrimp. You know, I'm having that right now.
I was
going to
say,
I'm
hobby horse and ice cream might be a little gross.
Well, you know what? I'm doing it on shrimp right now in honor to John Daly. And you know what? Your Best Buy date is not until 2015, so I'm going to be all right. But I've got a pound of shrimp and a bottle of... And then a bottle of hot habanero, you know, I got the hobby out. And then I'll tell you what, I'm holding my own. I haven't coughed yet. You got to give me credit.
You guys are great. Now, you also, to shift gears again, you guys both offer dried habaneros and dried ghost chilies in bulk on your site. Now, you guys quite built quite the setup to grow the peppers. I mean, do you guys do the drying of them as well?
Yep. Everything
awesome.
We do.
All right.
Yeah, in-house. Yep.
Okay. Yeah, because, I mean, I've got an Excalibur unit that I normally make jerky with and stuff like that, and I get asked by a lot of people the process of actually drying chilies. I mean, perhaps you could expound upon us your great knowledge of this to the masses in case anyone out there is trying to figure out how to dry peppers themselves. I mean, besides, you know, macing the house if it's not in the garage.
If it's, yeah, you know, I would suggest a well-ventilated area, and when you plug it in, look at your neighbor's house when you flip the switch on. If their light's dim, it's too big. what I've got is I got a pretty nice industrial-sized one, $399. You know, you can dry probably, I think I've done 3-4 pounds of chilies at one time. Simplest way to do it, lay foil down on the grate. Just take a razor blade, put a little slice in every one of your little pods, throw them on the rack, put them on there for 12 hours. Don't worry about over-drying them. The drier they are, the better. And believe it or
right.
not, you can pull the seeds out, put them in the ground, they will grow.
Really?
You
even
know,
dehydrated? See, that I did not know.
Yeah, you can grow dehydrated seeds. I wouldn't call it easy, but you can grow them. You know, they got to dry
wow.
out some way. You know, most people just lay them on paper towel, let them dry overnight, then they go in for the germination and whatnot. I pull
sure.
them out of my, you know, we have this pepper garden on the side of my house. It's really funny. I have no clue what's over there, but I can tell you there's about 60 varieties, and it's whatever I've scraped off the bottom of the dehydrator and thrown out the window.
Nice.
Yeah, they're everywhere. I've got no cats, no anything running around my neighborhood, and it's not because
you got the
yeah.
ultimate hybrids growing inside your house. They're like triffids.
Oh yeah. Yeah, I put them out front just to see if I can get the neighborhood kids to come over and just try one.
Oh,
and I was
my
like,
God.
Hey, I can either give you a super chili or a caramel onion for Halloween. Take them on over. Come on over.
Oh, yeah, I like the idea of the candy apple onion, dude. That is just like so wrong.
Well, we did it about
now,
6 years ago down in Arkansas, and I'll tell you what, we almost made the paper because we got in that much trouble, but it was worth it.
Jesus. All right, let's get Justin on here for a second. Now, as we discussed on the phone, in addition to all the products you guys got, you have some other products in the works right now, too. Care to share?
Well, we've got a lot of things. There's a lot of things up in our brain that kind of rattle around. There's a lot of
right.
room in there. But what we definitely want to come up with is like a line of dips and also your condiments. So, you know, working on a green mayonnaise. I know it sounds weird, but
Well, if you leave it out in the sun too long, yeah, sure.
I know, it looks like beer too, but it's just something different, like a novelty type item. But then we want to do your condiments, your spicy ranches, blue cheese, all that stuff.
Sure.
And that's kind of the direction we want to go. We don't want to limit ourselves to really anything that can be enhanced with heat. We want to give
Agreed.
It a shot.
Well, yeah, I mean, you guys said you sell to a lot of college area stuff. I mean, condiments would be the way to go with that. I mean, hell, every college kid's you open up his refrigerator, it's mustard, ketchup, and relish, and maybe an old hot dog.
Got it. We want to have an easy use squirt bottle that somebody can just, you know, squirt on their sub, their sandwich, whatever they're making, and it's already pre-made. You don't have to open 8 different bottles of condiments.
Right. And
bag.
I think if you guys are doing a lot of college stuff, I think that's going to do well for you, I do believe.
We've got SUNY Binghamton right across the river, and I believe, what are there, 26,000 kids over there, Justin?
Somewhere in there.
And they're right here in the neighborhood. So if we can go find a little spot downtown and we can get them all roped in, we can get the Mojo Grill rolling, you know, and get them college kids to start, you know. Because when we do these festivals, they're in South PA. Most of the folks that are buying our sauce are from Jersey, Philly, down that whole neck of the woods. And that's where those kids are coming from to go up here to go to school. And, most of them are surprised that we're actually here in Binghamton. That usually blows people away. They're hot dogs in Binghamton. It was crazy, you know. And I'm like, yeah, well, there were certain things that needed to happen to this town, and one of them was a bunch of old school guys to come back, quit complaining how bad it is, and do something about it. So here we are jumping on the bandwagon, and we're going to do something about it.
Well, I do like the idea of the restaurant. I read that. I think it was on the website. You guys are actually just opening up a grill. I think it's great.
Yeah, what we want to do is have our a deli with a range of our sauces, and including others, friends like you. Have a little shop in the front where somebody can peruse and get a different type of sauce, and then have all those condiments that I was discussing readily available, and hopefully have our bottling facility running in a clear glass window in the background.
That'd be cool. That would be cool. I've never heard of anybody doing something like that. That's a cool idea. I like it. Now I think this last year was was your first Bowers appearance. You guys are really psyched to get into that. How'd you guys do with Bowers? I mean, Bowers is like, I love that show.
My feet still hurt from Bowers.
So you did well. Good.
That show was so much fun. We had a blast. A
good
blast. Yeah, man.
I mean, it's the most bizarre little show in the middle of nowhere, in abject nowhere, and thousands, tens of thousands of people descend upon this little park. It's mind-blowing the first time you're there.
When I got there, I was like, what is this?
Right.
It's not big enough for a little carnival. And boy, did they pack them in. It was unreal. It was a great experience.
We roll in a cushy motorhome, John, and all he's doing is crying because it's going to be a small festival.
Well, honestly, I thought the same thing when me and Meg were in the DEFCON truck heading there the first year. I'm like, honey, we're in the middle of cows and corn. What the hell's going on here? This is a little park. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a winner. Oh, my goodness. Sometimes you think the wrong things. We kind of got into a little bit. I mean, what gives you guys ideas for new products? I mean, is this like something you have at a restaurant you really like and try to create yourself, or kind of request from customers or family, or is it just like an idea that pops into your head? I mean, now it seems that it's gotten weirdly, I mean, how do you get a new idea to pop up?
Well, I think we're kind of different. We're kind of weird animals.
Well, I knew that.
And we think outside of the box. I don't want to replicate a product that's already doing something that we can't aspire to.
Right.
But if we can come up with a new product that may take off and other people will aspire to us, that's where we want to be. So we are thinking outside of the box, something different, something you don't see every day in your grocery store.
Sure.
We have respect for the people that have already done the footwork and the sweat equity and everything small business has to get going. We have respect for those folks, the ones that have made it, and we know which ones those are on the shelf. You know, I have respect for a lot of business out there, and then you got the big conglomerates that just try to throw mass crap out there, and it's like, we We all know that.
Yeah, we all know who those. We all know who each one of those people are. You know, just it's kind of obvious.
We don't need those people. You know, so anyways, you know, we got respect for the folks. We didn't want to step on anybody's toes, and we definitely didn't want to go and just start replicating because, you know, it's not good pocho, man. So what we were doing is we were coming out, thinking out of the box. You know, when you meet us in person, you'll see Justin and you think, yeah, that's great. Then you meet me and say, you know, hey, we are what we are.
Right. Well, no, I mean, oh, God, when I rolled into Canton, I was like, who, these guys are like eyeing me like Uncle Fester. What the hell's going on here? I do what? And he's like, oh, my God, we got the DEF CON guy next to us. I had no idea that you guys even knew we were. It was kind of funny.
I looked for my banjo and duct tape for like an hour, and I finally just gave up.
Oh my God! Now, what I was reading on your website also that you use all local ingredients. We kind of dipped into this a little bit, but mainly from like what local farmers markets. I guess it would be, and I find that totally commendable. I mean, I've spent years trying to get the word out to stay out of the huge conglomerate supermarket chains and kind of support the local guys. I mean, for one, you're going to get a far better product ingredient wise, and no Monsanto based additives. But you're also going to be supporting local commerce. Something I see kind of rising in the last few years. People are getting sick of the big markets, but you guys get all your stuff from the small farmers, like local markets. I find that very commendable.
Well, thanks, John. Thanks. You know, and that's another idea of Justin's, you know?
Yep. Well, it means something. I mean, these days, everybody's looking for, you know, organic can mean anything. A rock is organic. I'm not going to put that in my sauce, you know. But, I mean, people want to go. They don't trust the ShopRites, the A&P, the big conglomerate markets anymore.
Oh, no.
They don't know what they're buying.
Exactly. And, you know, we don't exactly promote the whole organic. What we promote is locally grown.
Local. Exactly.
You know,
right.
You can drive down the road and go by the guy's farm. No one around here is making enough money to put a fence up that you can't see what he's doing. Well, we go
right.
See what you're doing, and then we choose you to grow some peppers. You know?
Right. And you're both washing each other's hands. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely, because, you know, he's going to go spend money at my place at some point, and I'm going to continue to spend money at his place, you know, and we want everybody in between. We're between SUNY Binghamton and Cornell University. We're like on that exit that takes you to Ithaca. We've got all kinds of flavorful people coming through here, you know, and one great thing for us is we
flavorful
are
flavorful people.
Restaurant.
God, it sounds like Jeffrey Dahmer.
Well, I gotta be politically correct, otherwise I'll get sued. But they're flavorful, you know. But there's a great little Mexican restaurant. I'm gonna pitch them quick if I could. A week on New York, Las Chicas. Man, they're our first customer. They were the first customer in New York State to buy Burning Mojo hot sauce. We love those folks. They are
awesome.
Actually at the turning point that takes you to Cornell, Ithaca College, the Lake Region, the wine country. You have to stop there. Best food on the East Coast. I promise you this, folks. I've been all over the place.
I'll tell you what. Speaking of being all over the place, now you have quite an interesting job background. I'm not sure how many people have ever met someone who actually builds terrain parks at ski resorts. What the hell is that all about?
That's another passion in life. You know, growing up in the
dude, that's
more than
a passion. That's a way of being.
It is. I love it. And I torture myself on a yearly basis, and I don't know why I do it, but sometimes I'll go to work at 11 at night and make snow all night till 7 in the morning, riding around on a snowmobile, negative 14 degrees, make 15, 16 inches of snow, build a huge booter in the park, play on it all day long, go home, sleep 6 hours, come back. It's just in my blood. I'm 42 years old. I've never been married. I've got no kids. I've got a great girlfriend that has kids. I'm being slowly, you know, I'm learning how to
work your way into it. Yep, I understand.
I'm working my way into it, but I'm a big kid. I really am. You know, I'm a short little fat kid, but I'm a big kid, and I like to live life. I like to, you know, I'm not afraid to take a risk, but I love my snowboards. I love my dirt bikes. I love my stuff.
Well, see, we think a lot alike. My whole thing to life is never grow up. All you do is get old.
Yep. Oh, yeah. All I'm doing is
old. There's a lot to be said for that. Now, in addition to making snow walls and doing a lot of crazy stuff, you guys, now to put your feet firmly on the ground here, you guys also help out various shelters, helping the less fortunate.
Yeah.
Now, that I find, you did that today, as a matter of fact.
you know, that's like, I don't know how to explain that. There's certain people in this world that wake up wanting to, you know, just watch other people smile, you know, and you know, it's not because of a holiday season. We're not jumping on a bandwagon. But, you know, we've been so busy with what's going on, it was just kind of a brain fart in the car, as in, you know what, you keep hearing, you know, this target marketing on the radio about, you know, this needs help, these people need help, oh, it's that time of the year, yada, yada. Well, what we thought was, is, you know what, we don't want any recognition for it. We were going to go just choose a couple of families, you know, through a couple of organizations and make dinner for them, drop it off, yada, yada. Well, come to find out, trying to get people's personal information from these churches and organizations is almost impossible. All they do is cry for help, but they don't want to tell us who needs the help. So this is the new plan. The new plan is we went up to the farms today outside of Ithaca. I picked up 15 pounds of fresh carrots, 10 pounds of potatoes. I've got onions. We got stuff. Mom's making homemade bread. We're going to make 25 to-go orders, restaurant style. We're going to throw them in a caravan, and we're going to jump in the van about noon, Thanksgiving, and we're going to drive around Binghamton, and we're going to find folks that are sitting next to a wall in the cold. We're supposed to be getting a foot of snow in the next 2 days. There's going to be a lot of hungry, cold people. Well, we can financially afford to go feed a couple dozen of them, but we're not just going to go give it away to one household. We're going to go spread it around town. We're going to find the folks that, you know, some folks have a house and nothing to eat.
Oh, man. It takes a certain kind of a person to be able to do that. I mean, that's just freaking awesome. But as you hear, I told you the time goes quick, guys. But, no, I definitely want to have you guys back on. You guys are a riot. And I'll give you a call after the show to kind of wrap things up here. But, hey, here we are, guys. There's the music. Got to wrap it up. Thank Michael Nader, Niederreiter. I'll get ready one of these days. And Justin Farber from Burnin' Mojo for joining us tonight. Check out their line of products at www.burninmojo.com. As you can see, these guys are very busy dudes and a serious desire to move forward and also thinking about their fellow man. We wish them the best of luck. It's nice to see someone with this amount of passion for what they do. Next week, we'll be bringing forward Dean from Dino's Jalapenos, so stay tuned for that. Now, don't forget, if you want to have a chance at scoring one of our newest collectibles, the Zero Batch number 6, you got to get on the mailing list, john@defconsauces.com. So, until next time, this is John Dilley, president of Defcon Sauces, creator of the finest wing sauces, habanero, horseradishes, and dry rubs, bidding everyone a good night. Check us out at defconsauces.com. So until next week, when we pull another slightly twisted individuals out of the culinary maelstrom of hot sauces, barbecue, and chili, same bat time, same bat channel. Have a good night, everybody.
Oh, no. Give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. For my outlaws, give me 2 shots. We don't need a radio, bring a jukebox. For my outlaws, bring me 3 shots. We can raise hell before the speed stops. I'm over 1% patches on the leather vest. And every outlaw biker that I met on the west, I'll probably never see the Opry. If I did, I'd laugh. I'd probably break some long necks, then go out like cash. They bump me in the prison, Tracy and San Quentin. You can blame the fast living or the whiskey and women. Radio don't need to love me, but they need to respect it. I'm here to pick the pieces up where Bob Rock left it. I've done a few shows where the sheriff won't go, and some of those shows were with David Allen Coe. I'm at the motel sleeping, the truck stop eating, a different dive bar drinking every other weekend. Like a trucker driving 18, I only slept 2. My neck stays red and my collar stays blue. Hate 3 knows me, and Shooter does too. If you don't like them, then I don't like you. I'm a whiskey drinking SOB. If you don't like that, then you won't like me. I'm an outlaw.
Just when you thought radio was safe. A new kind of radio is on its way. Food. Music. and friends. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year.